You're listening to the Stone Tapes on Siren 107.3 FM with Sam Stone and friends.
Hello, everyone.
Oh,
hello, well, David.
That was a bit of a struggle getting here, wasn't it?
God.
Oh, my word.
I'm sorry, we're a little bit frazzled and a bit sort of upset at the moment. We had a bit of difficulty getting into the studio today.
And where's Patricia? I haven't seen her yet. Oh, hi, Patricia.
Hi. I ran all the way here. They're everywhere.
What's happening?
I think they're zombies.
I
think they're zombies. They're just everywhere. They're just shambling around and I brained one with my cane, but it still kept coming, and then...
Good grief.
Well,
we saw the mist, didn't we? Yeah, there's a lot of mist.
Oh, my word.
So all over Lincoln.
God, I'm not quite sure what's... Patricia,
really,
I think we need a bit of music. Hang on,
yeah,
here we go.
Just take a deep breath. Ghouls be seen in ghosts.
Beware. I'd like to tell a little story about a girl from far away. You might feel bad, you might feel sorry about what happened. So they say, well, once upon a time there was a sweetheart, a pretty girl flicked her sweat. She took the one time by the graveyard, and I don't know why somebody grabbed her.
Well, that was Creepshow and Zombies Ate Her Brain. A bit appropriate for today, unfortunately, the way things are going.
Yeah,
Patricia,
I'd say so.
How are you feeling now? Are you calm?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm okay.
Good.
Yeah,
David,
okay.
I mean, going back to what we saw, and I'm really concerned about what you've seen and what we've seen, and I'm actually starting to think there's something to be worried about today in Lincoln.
Probably.
But let's distract ourselves.
Right.
Do you have a review for us this week?
I did, and it's about zombies.
Oh. I'm seeing a theme here.
So what I reviewed was Bone Shaker by Sherry Priest. It's a really awesome book. It's got steampunk and zombies and the city of Seattle. So, okay.
Deep breath.
Okay, so let's have a summary. Okay, what happened was there was a guy who made a big drill thing. It was supposed to go mining for gold, because there's gold up in them there hills. And so the drill went, it's called the Bone Shaker. The drill is the Bone Shaker. That's why there's the title of the book is Bone Shaker. And so in his experiments, he accidentally released from an underground pocket this gas. It's called the Blight, and it turns people into zombies. So what they did was they walled up most of Seattle, and people just kind of lived on the outside in little towns with water purification plants, because, you know, a gas that makes people zombies is not a good thing to have in your groundwater. So the actual story starts about 15 years later. The main characters are Briar Wilkes and her son Zeke. Briar is the widow of the guy who built the drill. That's made things awkward for her and her son Zeke. Zeke does not know much at all about his parents, and what happened and the whole Blight thing. So what he does is really brilliant, but he's a 15-year-old boy, so that's normal for them. He goes into the walled-off city of Seattle that's crawling with zombies, full of this gas that turns people into zombies. And then Briar has to go looking for him. and lots of stuff happens because there's people living inside this city with zombies in it.
Right.
Wow.
And they're really, really interesting characters. So we've got an excerpt from this book. It's from the prologue bit, explaining a little bit about what happened in the backstory. And David, take it away.
Thank you very much. This much is known. In the aftermath of the drill engine's astonishing trail of destruction, a peculiar illness afflicted the reconstruction workers nearest the wreckage of the bank blocks. By all reports, this illness was eventually traced to the drill engine tunnels and to a gas which came from them. At first, this gas appeared odourless and colourless, but over time it built up to such an extent that it could be discerned by the human eye, if spied through a bit of polarised glass. Through trial and error, a few particulars of the gas were determined. It was a thick, slow-moving substance that killed by contamination, and it could be generally halted or stilled by simple barriers. Stopgap temporary measures cropped up across the city as an evacuation was organised. Tents were disassembled and treated with pitch in order to form makeshift walls. As these barriers failed, one ring at a time, and as thousands more of the city's inhabitants fell fatally ill, sterner measures were called for. Hasty plans were drawn up and enacted, and within 1 year from the incident, with Dr. Blue's incredible bone-shaking drill engine, the entire downtown area was surrounded by an immense brick, mortar, and stone wall.
And that was Bone Shaker by Sherry Priest. And Bone Shaker is the reason I love steampunk.
So, really?
Yeah, when I was first getting into it, people handed me some books. And they're like, here, read these. And I read that and went, wow. There's a genre with books that are just that fantastic quality in it. I love this thing. Give me more.
So what would you give that out of?
9 out of 10.
Nine out of ten.
Fantastic. I love Sherry Priest's style. I love the way she does her characters. They're kind of gritty and broken, and who doesn't love a good flawed character?
I don't know if either of you are seeing a kind of juxtaposition here with our present day circumstances and fracking, or maybe I shouldn't go down that route on the radio right now.
Yes,
but
that's controversial.
There's a big argument to say do not dig underground.
Don't go digging underground. You never careful. Know what you'll release.
So let's have some Zombie Eaters by Faith No More.
To you.
Well, we faded out a little sooner because we were going to introduce Robin, our Starburst reviewer from Wales, and unfortunately we can't get him on the phone. It's a little bit of a worry.
So it's possible that Wales might be having the same problem with mist and things in the mist that the rest of the countries of Nottingham is.
Nottingham
has a train was so late. There is something on the track, and I think I know what it is now.
Look.
There we go.
Deadline.
We can't get hold of Deadline. So this whole zombie thing then, I mean, obviously there's films and books and just so much that's gone into popular culture.
Well, thanks for getting us back on track, David.
That's all right.
We've got to focus on the show.
We've got to focus on what we're trying to do here. So, do you have a favourite zombie book at all?
Favourite zombie book?
You mean besides Zombies at Tiffany's?
Well, I can't comment on that one, but I don't mind you bringing that one up.
Is
that
was
a good one, you know, by Sam Stone.
Yes.
I like it because there's zombies and cats. I would say also Dearly Departed by Leah Habel and, of course, Bone Shaker.
Yes. I've not read it myself, but Warm Bodies is supposed to be a very good novel.
Yeah, Lindsay read it.
And then, of course, there's World War Z. I mean,
of course.
That's like the king of zombie books. I don't think the movie turned out very well, but I do love the book.
Oh, you like the film as
well. I love the film, but I haven't read the book, and I love Warm Bodies, the film as well. Because I haven't, but I haven't read the book, to be fair.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think I have actually ever read a zombie book, to my shame.
Really?
And I think, I'm just trying to think. The closest I might have come to that was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but that's really
I love that one.
It's
kind of a zombie book, and I do love Jane Austen, so it was a good thing to put those two together for me. That's good, but David, you were saying earlier when the music was playing, you were a little worried and you were just wondering.
Yeah, I just spotted something over there. I mean, is that like a radio set? Do you think let's see if we could try. Alex, can we see if we can get someone on the radio here? I'll just try and let me see.
And then in 1932, a movie comes along called White Zombie with Bela Lugosi. And that's, for all intents and purposes, the first actual zombie film. And it was inspired directly by a lot of reports coming from anthropologists, sociologists that went over to Haiti, to the West Indies, and observed what they called voodoo. And they misinterpreted it wildly, and they saw people put under spells and controlled by a high priest. And that was the beginning of the concept of the zombie, and those early movies dealt with that. Many, many decades later, decades after, there have been countless zombie movies all through the years. George Romero and John Russo come up with Night of Living Dead, and they had no intention of even calling them zombies. In fact, as anybody here knows, the word zombie doesn't come up even once, right? You don't hear it at all. They're ghouls. And Romero was actually basing his creatures on a lot of other folklore, including these flesh-eating creatures that come back from the dead. So he created a monster that then was given the label zombie. And from then on, that's where it stuck. And to this day, many people think a reanimated corpse coming back to eat the living is a zombie. But that was a reinvention in 1968.
Long she sees apart from me, possessed behind the eyes. And apart from the frightening, the moaning, the biting, it seems to be the night sky. And I know what she thinks, and she looks at me, and she looks with such despair. But you're not the only one around here that needs a bit of fresh air. Cause I'm a sad, sad post-teen, could have been the love machine, no dream concrete, walking like a zombie, like a zombie. She goes, but she won't get far.
Was Dr. Arnold T. Blumberg there, the official Doctor of the Dead. He was talking about the origin of zombies in films, and that was followed by Zombie by Jamie T. So Sam, one of the things that you're particularly interested in is how to survive a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And I think your interest is really being brought into sharp focus today. We've just seen some very strange things happening outside the studio window, passing by out the mist.
There's a lot of people shambling around out there, and they have to admit they don't look too well. What do you think, Patricia?
Yeah, I think it looks like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I think we've definitely got a zombie apocalypse. So how would you survive a zombie apocalypse, Patricia? Do you have any plans set by? Because you're going to have to do that tonight.
Yeah, just getting back to the train, maybe. I've got a zombie apocalypse wardrobe solution. I've got really long hair, and I've always thought, okay, the first thing I'm going to do in a zombie apocalypse is cut off my hair. Anybody got scissors?
Right.
No? Okay.
No.
I'll do that later.
So I might have some nail scissors. It might take us a while.
That'll work.
I've got a very long serrated carving knife.
I don't know if that'll work, but we'll try.
We could try that, yeah.
Because it's something that zombies can grab.
Yes, that's a good thought.
And my plan is nothing that zombies can grab. So I really like long, gothy, flowy skirts. None of those. Gonna go with jeans, you know.
Yeah.
Big long coat. As I was running here, I realized that was a terrible idea because they grabbed it. Don't think they got me, but my coat's ruined.
But isn't that like a good technique is to layer so that if they grab the outer layer, you can shed the layer.
Yeah, that's and a
good
idea.
Good idea.
And then keep going, you know. So you need that kind of layering.
So that big coat may have saved your life tonight.
It could have saved your life, yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, Sam, so what are your techniques for surviving?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a long, long time, actually, and I have this thing where everywhere I go, I check out the toilets to see which ones are zombie-proof, and I've got quite a comprehensive list now. Now, if in England, most toilets are pretty zombie-proof.
Yeah.
But in the States, what on earth...
They've got a really big gap at the bottom.
Massive gap at the bottom.
And over the tops.
Just crawl in there.
And absolutely. And there's no way you want to be caught with your pants down by a zombie.
Absolutely not.
So this is something that concerns me quite a lot. So I'll pass around the list. I can get it up on my Dropbox, presumably, if
that
internet is still working.
Well, we don't know, actually.
But we'll
have
to check.
We'll see. So I think, you know, for me, my son's, he does archery, and he's like a really, really good archer. Is that the right word?
I've
said to him a couple of times that, you know, I need you on my team so that when the zombie apocalypse comes, maybe tonight, we need him there with his arrows and he can take them out at distance.
Yep.
And we're talking,
useful,
you know, a long way here. So there's that. Plus, of course, you need to be somewhere where you can get water and food. So you need your wardrobe. You perhaps need to put some food in the wardrobe so that we've got some food there and stuff like that. But you could, of course, then just go and raid supermarkets or malls.
Yeah, but they're always lurking down the aisles.
I mean, we've all seen
Maybe
Dawn
little
of the Dead, have we? The ultimate zombies in a mall film.
Yeah.
You know, we know what happens because that's where they all go.
Well, that's where you see they got smart and learned all of them learn how to fly a helicopter, which helps too. But I mean, come on.
my husband knows how to fly a plane. This could be really useful, you guys.
Oh, well, this is great.
We've got a way out.
Yes.
But could he fly in this mist that we've got that's come over here?
Gosh, I don't know.
It's flying
really misty.
The problem, but landing could be difficult.
Could be difficult.
Well,
but you just
take
them
out. Suckers out at the
You could take them out. You could take them out. So, what, have we got any other techniques for surviving?
Well, I don't know if it's better to keep moving or stay put.
What about covering yourself in kind of like zombie gunk and?
Oh yeah, I saw that. Was that the Walking Dead?
Like in Warm Bodies, gets his girlfriend kind of covered, and she and they kind of walk through the zombies, pretend, and they do that in Shaun of the Dead as well, don't they?
Yes,
they pretend to be zombies. So is that a technique, perhaps?
It might be. We'll have to try it.
We might have to try it. As long as we don't smell of fresh blood and clean bodies, maybe, you know, messing yourself up a little bit.
Deodorant.
Yeah. So I think, any other sort of ideas for anybody?
Hang on, what's that? What's that?
Is there somebody at the door? Hang on.
Back to back. Ha ha ha. Belly to belly, yes, my friend, back to back, belly to belly.
It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island. Some of them were great Calypsonians. Since the season was carnival, they got together in Bacchanal. And they were singing back to back, good, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's a zombie jamboree. One female zombie, she wouldn't behave. See how she's dancing out of the grave. In one hand she's holding a quart of rum, the other hand was knocking a conga drum. You know the lead singer starts to make his rhyme, while the other zombie's rocking in time. One bystander, he had this to say: it was a time to see the zombies break away. And they were singing back to back more, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. To the Statue of Liberty, uptown, downtown, zombie jamboree. Ooh, whoa, 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 yeah, yeah. There's a high wire zombie between the World Trade, a King Kong zombie on the Empire State. But the biggest zombie's Tokyo to Rome, the zombies who call the city home. Back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's a zombie jamboree. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back
to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. I need the chorus, back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stung dead already here. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. Back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stung dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree.
Well, we seem to have an a cappella group outside made of zombies, and I believe they're called Rockapella, and that was a zombie jamboree. What on earth was that all about?
That's fantastic. I absolutely love that. That's very, very good.
Certainly lights up the apocalypse.
It certainly lights up the apocalypse.
Say, zombies are singing, I don't think I'd mind being one.
We'll have a little bit of a party going on. That's fantastic.
In tune as well.
That's fantastic.
To say the least. Now, Alex is calling our LA correspondent, Joshua Lou Friedman, and I think we have him now on the phone. Oh.
Oh. Still got dead lines.
Uh-oh. That doesn't bode well for Los Angeles. I think we need some Kerncraft 400, I think. Zombie Nation.
Please consult your directory and call again.
Oh, we're still trying
ask
to get
your operator for assistance.
Josh, I think.
This is a recording.
Oh, we just can't get through. Okay, no. I think we're not having much luck here. I think we're just going to need to go for some Kerncraft 400, Alex.
Just get some music on.
Just get some music on. No, it's not going to... Oh, there it goes. No, we're not going to get anybody there.
Back to back. Belly to belly. Yes, my friends. Back to back. Belly to belly.
Take it down. I don't know what they're still doing here. This is... Guys. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
good. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
I've talked a bit about zombie books before, and I think I need my mind taking off what's going on outside now. So just tell me, what's your favourite zombie movies?
Shaun of the Dead is good.
Shaun of the Dead. Oh.
It's so funny. Most of the zombie films I've seen are the funny ones. Right. So Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. So it's that sense of humour that they have that appeals.
Yeah.
So best bit then in Shaun of the Dead for you?
The beginning, where the zombie apocalypse is happening all around him and he has no idea.
And
he just doesn't notice until he like
he drifts
trips
on
it.
Yeah, I think one of my favourite bits in the film is it's one that people often comment on, and it's when they're in the pub, the Winchester, isn't it, at the end or near the end, and they're killing zombies with a bat to the rhythm of
Don't Stop Me Now.
That's
brilliant. That was the bit I was thinking about.
I think that's tremendous. Yeah. I love that piece. No, I definitely have a fondness for the slightly more tongue in cheek ones, and of course we're going to be talking about one of those in more detail in a bit, but I've loved zombie films for so long. I mean, the original Night of the Living Dead, of course, the original, well, not the original, as Dr. Arnold T. Blumberg was saying on the radio earlier, in the first ones, where, you know, I Walk with a Zombie, White Zombie, and those kinds of things, where the zombies were very much based on voodoo and bringing a dead person back to life to be your slave and to be like a blank worker in the mills or the factories and stuff like that. And of course it was George Romero that came up with the Night of the Living Dead type flesh-eating ghouls, and I think Arnold said there as well that he doesn't use the word zombies in the film Night of the Living Dead. They're called ghouls or something, I can't
Revenants
remember
or ghouls
it's a
or
long
something.
Time
yeah,
since
yeah.
I saw the film, but it had such a big impact, that film. You know, and obviously an incredible heritage of zombie films then spun off of that, with people shambling and so on and so on.
It kind of shapes the way we see zombies since, doesn't it, really?
Yeah,
I think absolutely. I mean, it brings in things like you've got Hammer's Plague of the Zombies, which is a favourite of mine.
I was going to mention that one. I like that one. Again, because that's playing on the voodoo aspect, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah, because the Plague of the Zombies is very much back to that original, you know, mill owner using the zombies to work his mill, and they're not really flesh eaters, although we see them. I think there's a dream sequence, isn't there, in the middle of the Hammer film, where they all kind of rise from the graves in a dream sequence. But it is a dream sequence, and is that really what happened, or is that, you know, something else? So Sam, I think you've got a kind of a fondness for some as well.
Yeah, Planet Terror is one of my favourites. I think that's great. Again, one of the Grindhouse movies, great fun, quite gory, quite gruesome, but super, because it is just it takes itself seriously within the film, but really doesn't take itself seriously, and completely plays up to the whole idea of the late night horror movie. You know, that everybody used to go to, and then the camera used to fail. And
as you say, it takes itself seriously, but it's hard to take a film seriously when, you know, like the leading actress in it ends up with a machine gun in place of one of her legs because she has her leg removed. And then the film's missing its third reel, so you jump in the middle of the film. It's got third reel missing caption comes up, and it jumps from one part to the end of the film in the middle.
That's one way to solve a writing
problem. Brilliant. It's
brilliant.
It is. And it's got the wettest zombies in.
They're very squishy.
I've ever seen. They're so squishy. They explode in great big showers of blood and ichor.
And a great lineup of stars as well. Bruce Willis, of course,
yes.
Mr. Tarantino.
Oh, yes.
Who plays a really horrible person in it.
Yeah.
But Rose McGowan's lead.
I love Planet Terror. I think that's a tremendous film. But we also like Warm Bodies.
Yeah.
As a sort of a very, very different take, really, in that the zombies are almost... what's the word? Sort of rehabilitated towards the end of the film.
I didn't expect to like Warm Bodies, I have to say. I mean, we were talking about before that you'd read the book, and I know Lindsay read the book and thought it was wonderful. And I was like, oh, zombie romance, this just, no, come on. But actually...
It can work really well.
The way they did it, I think the whole commentary about people losing themselves as a subtext of this story, and that they became zombies because they failed to communicate, was a great story I'm all a dither with this apocalypse. This is terrible.
Yeah, you guys listening at home didn't see that something just pushed up against the glass outside the studio there, and that was quite shocking. So,
That was quite a squishy one.
Yeah, we're going to have to clean that glass. It's all right. It's all right.
Is that fingerprints?
We'll be fine. Yeah, don't worry about it too much.
He's gone now.
So while we were kind of looking up all of this zombie stuff for the show, I came across a lovely list online, which is actually from Rolling Stone magazine. Now, who would have thought Rolling Stone magazine would have a list of their top 10 zombie films? But, you know, hey, they have. It's fantastic. So while the internet was still working, we managed to get hold of the list. So Rolling Stone's list of their top films, their number 10 was Zombieland, and we're going to be discussing that film a little bit
that
later.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, I love Zombieland. So the next film is Dead Snow. So I don't know if you've seen Dead Snow, Patricia.
I haven't.
It's a foreign language film. It's a Dodd Snow. I think it's German.
It's basically Nazi zombies
in the snow. Is what it's all about. I mean, that's about as much as you need to know. it's a great fun film, and I think it was a bit of a sleeper in that there's been a couple of sequels, or at least one sequel now. So that was great fun. Planet Terror they had next, and we talked about that a little bit. Yeah. The next one is a film called Brain Dead. Now, this isn't one that I've seen. I think this is a Lord of the Rings director guy whose name
Peter Jackson,
who I'd immediately forgotten. I think this is one of his early films, Brain Dead. Then we've got Shaun of the Dead, of course, which we love.
Yeah. Can't have a zombie list.
28 Days Later is there.
Oh,
I love
that film.
We've not talked about that one. A very influential film. Very influential film.
Fast zombies.
Yes, fast, very fast.
Scary, fast zombies. And, of course, the opening quarter of the film set in a completely deserted city where you've got this guy in a hospital robe, comes out the hospital, staggers around, and the whole place
is in
uproar.
Killian Murphy.
And the place is completely deserted. And
brilliant
performance, but brilliant visuals as well, bringing the whole thing to life.
Again, the film I liked about that, the thing I liked about that film was the commentary it gave on what we'd be turn into if we were in a situation of being an apocalypse. You know, what humanity, those who are remaining, what they behave like. And that was the scariest part of the film, I think.
It's not pretty. That sounds a lot like the show Walking Dead.
Yes.
I read the graphic novels for Walking Dead, and I haven't seen the show. And this is why, because the graphic novels are very brutal, very frightening. I mean, the zombies are scary, because they're zombies, but the people are what's really terrifying.
And I think that humanity can be the worst monsters sometimes.
But isn't the conceit of The Walking Dead, though, that it is not the zombies who are The Walking Dead, it's the humans who are The Walking Dead?
Mm. Yes.
And it's actually that's why it's all about them, which is fascinating. So the next one on this Rolling Stone list is Reanimator, and I was kind of quite surprised to see that one there, to be honest.
That isn't one I take seriously.
Not
a zombie film I'd necessarily pick,
but I guess it is about zombies. But and then their top three, surprisingly, was Dawn of the Dead from 2004. The original Dawn of the Dead from 1978, and then their number one was Night of the Living Dead, the original 1968. So, a lot of Romero going on there. So, it's good. Now, I found lots of other films that we've never seen as well. So, it's really fascinating that the lists of these films that we've got coming out. And there's quite a few here that I'd like to try and catch up on as well.
But for now, let's have Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo. Oh, get that right.
Over my shoulder. leaving the station every other Thursday, 8 till 10, bringing you the best local and international bands from the world of rock and metal. The Rock Train. No tracks are too heavy.
You're listening to The Stone Tapes on Siren 107.3 FM with Sam Stone and friends.
So now we've got David's film of the month, but I think this time Dave is going to do... We're going to be talking about two films, aren't we?
We are going to be talking
about... We've got so many to choose from.
A couple of films. I just wanted to mention, of course, Oingo Boingo there. And the fantastic thing about Oingo Boingo is that Tim Burton composer Danny Elfman is on vocals. This was what he was doing before he did Nightmare Before Christmas and all of those fantastic films. So it's great to hear a bit of Dead Man's Party going on there. So, yes, as the music kicks in, we have some fantastic films we're going to discuss today. The first one is Return of the Living Dead. Now, this has long been a favourite of Sam and mine. It's a great comedy film, although it takes itself pretty much straight.
Yeah.
It's not played for comedy, but it is actually a very, very fun film. And what's interesting about it is it's got its roots in a novel that John Russo wrote, which was also called Return of the Living Dead. And John Russo wrote this novel because John Russo, who was involved in the original Night of the Living Dead, and George Romero, who directed Night of the Living Dead, parted ways after the film. And Russo retained the rights to any titles featuring Living Dead, while Romero was free to go and do what he wanted to do, which is why his second film was Dawn of the Dead. So it's a kind of complicated origin. The film's tremendous. It's basically about a couple of guys who work in a medical supplies factory kind of warehouse thing in America. And in the basement of this factory, of course, there's some vats of this trioxin gas with zombies in, and of course guess what happens? One of the vats springs open, the gas comes out,
and that's before the opening credits,
and the zombies start to come to life. Those two guys get a mouthful of this gas, they start to turn into zombies. Of course the fantastic thing is all the stuff in the medical warehouse starts to become zombie as well. So
all the taxidermy
stuff.
So
the taxidermy,
the butterflies flapping.
The dog, the split dogs come alive, and the cadavers come alive. And you have this tremendous scene where they try and kill and cut up this cadaver
These are weird zombies. They
can't kill this cadaver.
Because it's not destroy the brain and then you're okay.
No. It's fantastic.
You can't destroy them.
So they have this bright idea. Let's burn it. So they take it to the local mortuary.
Right across the street.
And they burn the body. And, of course, it sends all of the zombie smoke into the air, which then comes down in the rain on a party of punks who are having a groove out in a graveyard. And of course, they get attacked by zombies. And the whole thing just goes to hell in a handcart. So I just absolutely love this film. I think it's tremendous. I was looking it up online, and I noted here, apparently the budget was about $4 million, which isn't a lot for a film.
No, I don't know, though. For then, that sounds quite a lot.
For then, it was quite a lot, because we're talking 1985 here. $4 million, apparently. But it grossed, like, $14.25 million.
Wow.
Just in America.
Wow.
On a $4 million spend. That's quite a good return for your money.
I'd say so.
That's pretty good. Directed and written by Dan O'Bannon, who of course did Alien and various other films of that nature. And of course Dead and Buried, which is another great
zombie
film.
Oh yes, that's a great film.
That we love. So Sam, what do you like about Return of the Living Dead?
I think one of my favourite lines is "Send more paramedics." I just love that. Killed me when I heard that the first time. It was just brilliant.
The zombies
talking
talk.
Zombies.
The other thing that I particularly like in it is there's a lovely, lovely scene where they get like a half woman zombie on a slab, and they talk to her about why do you want to eat our brains, and it comes out that it's the only thing that stops the pain, because being dead hurts. It's painful.
That was really poignant.
It's really good. And I just love this film. It's got so much going for it.
It's interesting how zombie films do often have these deeper meanings underneath them, don't they?
Absolutely.
There's always another level. It's tremendous. Not just the blood and gore.
And of course, we're listening at the moment to some of the soundtrack for Dawn of the Dead, the original 78 film by Goblin, composers I love. And the next film we want to talk about, as I mentioned earlier, is Zombieland. Now, this one, much more recent, 2009. It's a tremendous film. If you've not seen Zombieland, you need to rectify that. It's absolutely brilliant. It's got a very, very simple premise. It's zombie apocalypse has happened. Zombies have taken over the world, taken over America. And there's these four people who are basically on a road trip. So you've got Jesse Eisenberg as Columbus, Woody Harrelson as Tallahassee. They're named by the places they're trying to get to, which is tremendous. And these two guys hook up. They then meet up with Emma Stone as Wichita and Abigail Breslin as Little Rock, and they have various kind of battles between each other, mistrust and zombies along the way. There's a tremendous cameo from Amber Heard as 406, because that's the room in which she lives. No one's got their proper names. No one's got proper names
in
this
film. Murray has
Except for Bill
Apart
Murray,
from Bill Murray. And Bill Murray's in it as well as a zombie.
As Bill Murray.
It's just a tremendous film, and it's a lot of fun. And of course, one of the things that I really love about it is that Jesse Eisenberg as Columbus has his rules for surviving the zombie apocalypse.
Cardio.
Cardio. I've actually got them here. Ah. Yes, rule one to cardio. Rule two, the double tap. Rule three, beware of bathrooms.
I love the double tap.
Seat belts. rule seven, travel light. What else have we got?
So limber up. It's always
limber
a good
up.
One.
Rule 18, yeah. Rule 21, avoid strip clubs. There's lots of rules that you follow as the film.
I think there are more rules on your list than maybe
there are.
The film.
There are lots of the double knot your shoes, rule 28.
Double knot your shoes.
Yeah, rule 33, Swiss Army knife.
I suspect they did these, but then they got cut.
Apparently they made a whole series of little films with the guys doing different rules
doing
and stuff
rules?
As well on the internet. So it's kind of a tremendous film.
How great.
So Patricia, what did you think of, what do you make of Zombieland?
I love Zombieland. And you know, it starts in Garland, Texas. That's actually how Garland, Texas looks.
Oh,
that is
really?
Garland, Texas.
Oh, fantastic.
It looks like a zombie apocalypse has happened to it.
Well, maybe that's why they picked
it. That's
just Garland.
Yes. And Sam, what have you got a favourite moment from the film?
There were so many in that film. I love that film. One thing that I do maybe understand but don't understand is when they start to trash that whole shop.
Yes.
That's the only
the
thing.
The Indian store.
Yeah. And I do think, I'll tell you a very quick story about this. I watched this first on a plane, either going to America or coming from America. And as David pointed out to me, reminded me, I was jumping all the time at the beginning of it.
Screaming and jumping.
It's actually quite scary.
Yes.
There's some quite exciting moments. Mm. But they're, again, fast zombies. They chase.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're very,
very
fast.
That's why rule number one is cardio.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have a great fondness for the zombie kill of the week.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's great. That's
I wish we'd gotten to see more zombie kills
I've
of the week.
I wanted to see
movie.
More zombie kills of the week.
We only get to see, I think, one.
But dropping a piano on one is pretty
that was
good.
That's pretty
outside
awesome.
Of a church.
It's pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Pretty cool.
Zombie kill of the week by a nun, Sister Claire.
And of
or
course, they, you know, it completely reinforces why you should be careful about what toilets you go to as well.
Exactly.
You know, the zombie proof toilet thing's a big deal in that.
Very careful.
So it really is a tremendous film. And again, reading a little bit about it. Is that it grossed more than $60.8 million in 17 days in America.
Wow, that's amazing.
Over $60 million in 17 days in America. It's incredible.
Wow.
You tell me it was quite a low-budget film as well?
It was. Yeah. It was filmed, I think, mostly in Georgia.
Yeah.
And possibly Bill
I didn't
Murray's
find
house.
The budget.
Is that really Bill Murray's
house?
I would
the same
love
question.
To know.
I'd love to know as well.
I think it should be.
We should Google that.
He should
you know.
Live there. If he doesn't, he should. And I was saying, it's apparently it surpassed 2004's remake of Dawn of the Dead as the top grossing zombie film in the United States.
Wow.
And it held that title until World War Z came out in 2013. So it's not done too shabbily, that film, Zombieland. We absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Apparently there's 33 rules.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's right. And doesn't he add one at the end, which is... appreciate the little things or something.
Oh, appreciate
like
the little things.
The
that's
little
one
things.
Of them. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think that becomes one of
Don't
the
Don't be
last...
a hero is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he changes that
rule
one.
49 is always have backup.
Interesting.
That's a good rule.
Yeah. Always have backup, yeah.
That is good.
Clean socks. You can only start to guess at what kind of things.
And toilet paper.
Toilet paper, yes.
Oh, that is clever. That is very smart. Just in a zombie apocalypse or any apocalypse situation, make sure you have some toilet paper.
Yeah.
Not that I'm obsessed with toilets, and but it's important.
It's important to everybody.
So those are our two films for this edition of the Stone Tape. So we have Return of the Living Dead and Zombieland.
So what are you going to grade them?
Patricia, go on.
Return of the Living Dead, I would say 8 out of 10. That was fantastic and silly in all the right places and tightly written. I really, really liked that. And Zombieland, it's pretty much perfect, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to be 100% agreeing with you on that, because I think Zombieland is one of those films that I don't know how many times I've seen it, but I can always watch it again and enjoy it exactly the same as the first time. I still jump at the same
places. The characters are so likable, aren't they? They're so likable. They're brilliant. I think for me, Zombieland is definitely a 10 out of 10. Return of the Living Dead, I'm very tempted to give it a 10 out of 10. I think for the time, it was incredibly well done. I love the zombies.
Yeah, look at the ideas behind it as well.
The design work on them and everything is tremendous. It's a great film. Tarman is one of the best zombies.
Brilliant.
So we're going to have to try and get out of here, I think. Sam.
I think just for the sake of rounding up the show properly before we try and get away, what's your thoughts of how we're going to get through that mob outside?
I'm thinking we should try the pretend to be zombies thing.
Yeah.
It worked for Bill
Murray.
There's
some gunk on the window, so we can get hold of that. So
disguise our scent.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah, okay.
Well,
okay.
We'll end the show there, and with a thanks to David J. Howe, Patricia H. Ash, Arnold T. Blumberg, and our producer, Alex Lefchuk. Thank you.
Until next month.
We'll see you next month.
And wish us luck.
Definitely wish us luck.
Okay, here we go, guys.
Okay, I'm smearing this stuff on me now.
Here we go, smearing it on. Oh, that's icky.
Ooh.